Romans chapter 14, verses 20 to 23. Romans chapter 14, verses 20 to 23. It reads here, "For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. And he that doubteth is condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Not stumbling, but building up," is the title of the message, taken from Romans chapter 14 and verses 20 to 23. The Apostle Paul is urging the believers to refrain from judging one another over inconsequential matters, threatening to disrupt the harmony of the body of believers in the local church in Rome. Why does he have to repeat time and time again this chapter, the same point? Why is he so long-winded? Well, I believe there is a pertinent principle for the believers to learn for blessed church life, and for us too. What are those things that stumbles and offends one another? Donald Gray Bunhouse, he asked a missionary, who replied, "An unforgiving spirit, self-seeking, a legalistic spirit, playing God to others, hypocrisy, failing to appreciate others' gifts, failing to make allowances for one another, lack of patience, not sympathizing with others' infirmities, or perhaps their lack of gifts that we possess, evil speaking, assuming without grounds that others are at fault, pulling one another to pieces, suspecting the motives of another, a domineering spirit, a rebellious spirit, snobbery, hatred, grumbling, arguing, murmuring, maliciousness, being a busybody, greediness, bitterness, resentment, a sense of inferiority, not resting in the Lord, not satisfied with the gifts that he has given, lack of security, instability, timidity, spite, laziness, economic sponging, lying and slander, malice and jealousy, thinking too highly of oneself, a critical spirit toward others, carrying on a controversy, being informed about the position of another." Here, he gives us a whole list of areas for our examination. And so he tells us, and the question is asked, what are those things that builds up? There is the other list that contrasts to what we have just said. Willingness to be in subjection one to another, considering others better than oneself, an understanding spirit, a sense of intimate relationship to Christ, not insisting on our rights, willingness to confess a wrong spirit, sincerity, a generous spirit, a sympathetic spirit, trusting others, having faith in Christ, not necessarily in others, but expressed as trust to others, knowing that we belong to Him, joyfulness, prayer, discretion, a critical spirit toward one another, a gentle, quiet spirit, humility, using our gifts for one another, remembering our own mistakes, Christ-centeredness, love in word and deed, fair dealing, integrity, recognizing one's place, a forgiving spirit, doing things decently and in order, conscientiousness, faithfulness, being responsible to perform the task assigned to us, not misusing our authority over others, being willing to follow those in authority over us. We say, may the Lord cause His church to be strengthened and to be built up for His glory. You realize that there are those things that we must put away and put on those things that build up. And here, the Lord speaks categorically in verse 22 with this question: Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. The Apostle Paul directs his attention to the believer who claims to be strong in faith. He tells such a one, you better keep between yourself and God that conviction that you have. Do not bring God's judgment upon yourself by insisting on the exercise of your liberty, because such insistence will bring harm to the weak fellow believer. Hendrickson, the believer who has a matured faith, will have the spiritual strength to defer to the weaker believer. We are asked to exercise it. God's blessing will come upon you for exercising forbearance. Right, so you realize that in a church setting, there is a need very much to exercise forbearance one toward another. And we need to grow. And we need to grow. And we would need to have the strength. So we say that in our service, we would be challenged oftentimes because we would be confronted with our own spiritual weaknesses. But how can we overcome? How can we overcome our spiritual weakness? Here, the Lord speaks to us, right, so that we may have that, what we said, a breakthrough in our life, right, that the believer would have the strength to forbear one another. In other words, often we offend one another. Often we offend one another. But here the Lord says, let us have the grace to forbear one another. So the believer who has a mature faith would have the strength to defer to the weaker believer. In other words, you would choose to suffer the wrong. Is it easy to suffer the wrong? not so easy. But here is said to us that we are to do so. We are to exercise it. God's blessing will come upon you. The Apostle Paul exhorts for exercising forbearance. It shows forth the Spirit's fruit when the believer is able not to take issue with the ways of a weaker believer. And so I recall that having a time when I've not understood what it means to not drink, and that wine is a mocker. Right? So in our kind of work, wine is normal, beer is very normal, and hard liquor is also quite normal in the kind of a social setting. But we grow to understand and come to a conviction in our hearts, right? So we said that when we are convicted, then we would, right? For my case, was this, right? You take all the bottles that you have and just dump them, throw them away. And that's it. Somehow there's no more that past desire, right? No more that past desire. But it takes a conviction, you see. God's Spirit comes upon you and you are convicted and you say that, yes, I understand that, I put it away. But if you look at another brother, he may not have that conviction as you have. And what do you do when you are faced with such a situation? Well, we say this, that we would be very patient to share the truth, but at the same time to allow time for the Word of God to work. Of course, we said that there are certain limits, whereby we are able to function, right? You do not put a person who is not able to be sober in the mind, right, in to responsibilities of service. Give the person time. And so here, Paul tells us, it shows the Spirit's fruit when the believer is not able to take issue with the ways of the weaker believer. Not that it is a good thing. No, right? We understood it is not. But rather, to lovingly, patiently teach. Even such pointed entreaty by the Apostle Paul can sometimes be spurned. Why should I give in to him? Retorted the stronger believer. Indeed, such a one is not strong in the faith in the final analysis when he fails to exercise self-restraint and tolerance. Truly, such insistence, Christian fellowship is undermined and the weak believer stumbled. Such rebellion or sin is against God, and the stubborn believer falls into God's inadvertent displeasure. May God help his people to bear the fruit of long suffering. Of course, I would say perhaps my example is a little bit too harsh. No, I don't think so. Well, one of the traits, right, of the Bible Presbyterian Church when it was inaugurated is the total abstinence. Total abstinence. And we have a conviction to that. But we also lovingly teach so that the believer would understand the danger, the snares, and be willing to submit, the willing to put away. For our own spiritual health. And so, may God help us. Here, verse 22 and 23 also tells us, whatever in the Christian's life that does not spring from faith, not in harmony with the inner conviction that what he is doing is in line with his Christian faith, Hendrickson says, this person is sinning because he's trying to silence the voice of conscience. To be sure, a person's conscience is not the final judge of his actions. That God is the final judge. And what one would prefer to say, the Word of God is that final yardstick. So here, we'll be willing to take time to search the Scriptures. We'll be willing to take time to understand the truth of God's Word. So for the Christian, therefore, it is imperative that he grows in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the consistent study of his Word. So during our church camp, we were looking at meditation. To take time to to let God's Word dwell in us. To take time to let God's Word dwell in us. So that the dwelling of God's Word in our hearts may become a conviction in our lives. And this month, we were looking at sickness. Sickness. How do we view sickness? And I would urge you to take time to study and read. I know it is quite laborious. 50 pages may be quite long, but the articles are short, just 2 pages, 3 pages. And if you would take time, it would probably be, you would be able to read an article in half an hour. But do not rush through it. I would urge you to take time to study and to learn it. And so that we may understand the issue involved, right? J.C. Ryle, he shows us that and explain for us what is sickness, right? That how it is something that comes upon us as a most humbling and distressing trial in a person's life, and how sickness can turn the strongest into a little child, and sickness can cause us to be derailed in our spiritual life. And so here is given to us the recourse for it, right? How we might be able to understand the origin of it, and what we can do to understand sickness is universal, the priceless gift of health, and how do we, as the people of God, receive this fullness, right? The Lord wants us to learn and understand how our health is related to our spiritual well-being. Right? The word that was used was holiness, wholeness and soundness of the spiritual man brings with it also the fullness and soundness of the physical man, right? How it's related. And here, the Lord also provides for us how we may find comfort in times of sickness. And the Lord wants us to learn, because those times when it comes to us, it may come to us suddenly. So this week, I was in contact with another person who is a pastor, and he's suddenly contracted cancer. And it is devastating, in the sense the news comes as a shock with the family, children, and all this, the work. How, what to do? So the friend says, sickness, may I have a copy of it? I would study it, I would go through it, so that we would understand. May God give us the grace to handle these trials that comes to our lives. And so Paul teaches us here how important it is that we would build up one another. Not stumbling, but build up. And how can we do so? He tells us that there are many spiritual ailments within us, right? And we have listed many of them. And if you were to search our hearts truthfully, you realize that we stumble upon in many of these points. And so it behooves us to take time and examine ourselves, so that we would grow in that area, that particular area in our lives, right? And we would take time to address it by seeking the Word of God and related Christian literature concerning how to handle these things. So I urge you to take time to meditate and study. Serious study, not just your devotion time. It is not enough, and we said that you just spend your half an hour quiet time each day and that's it. We would not be able to know God's will God's way in that way. And if years and years were passed, we'll still be spiritual pygmies, not growing. But it is the desire of God that we would grow. So we need to set aside time. And we have provided you with Christian literature so that you may take time to study. And I pray that it will become effectual. The important things are not urgent. The many things that brings demands to our life that are very urgent are not the important things. So I urge you to prioritize and understand what are those things that are important. And those are not urgent things. There will be nothing to push you. But you would see that there are certain alarm bells that comes in your own spiritual life that rings, that tells us that, hey, well, that there is certain area of deficiency that I need to buck up, that I need to take time. So let us use our time very wisely. Use our time very wisely. Take time to meditate and study. There are many different areas of spiritual weakness in our life. And I pray that we would be serious and we'll be willing to change our normal schedule so that our schedule would have incorporated the study of God's Word. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace. Strengthen us by Thy Holy Spirit and grant us Thy the strength to take time to meditate upon Thy Word so that we may grow thereby. Help us to be restful in our soul so that we would be able to have the alertness of mind to dwell upon Thy Word, that Thy Word may be in us a wellspring of water flowing unto everlasting life. Help us, Lord. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.